Support for this podcast comes from San Francisco International Airport. At SFO, you can discover award-winning flavors and unique shops all before takeoff. Learn more about what's at SFO at flysfo.com.
Hey, it's Avery Trufelman, host of Articles of Interest. And I've got to say, I've been a fan of KQED ever since I was a little kid, and I would come out to San Francisco to visit my grandma. It was just what we'd always turn on every time we got in the car, every time we were making dinner and turning on the radio. It was always KQED. And then over the years, I've become a massive fan of KQED podcasts because this is local reporting at its best. These are answers to questions you've always wanted to know, interviews with exciting, unusual voices, necessary journalism, all told with love and care and artistry. And did you know that a majority of KQED's funding actually comes from members? It's just people like you and me supporting the programs they love, while also getting access to cool events, behind-the-scenes footage, and so much more. If you want to sign up and be a part of this amazing community, visit donate.kqed.org/podcasts to become a member today. That's podcasts with an S. Thank you for listening, and thank you for your support.
From KQED.
This is the California Report. Good morning. I'm Saul Gonzalez in Los Angeles. We're going to get to some of the latest coronavirus news in the state in a moment. But first, there's big news this morning involving Pacific Gas and Electric. The utility giant has agreed to plead guilty to multiple counts of manslaughter and one count of unlawfully causing a fire. With more, here's the California Report's Lily Jamali. Hi, Lily.
Hi, Saul. Well, this settlement caps a year-long criminal investigation of PG&E's role in the Camp Fire by Butte County District Attorney Mike Ramsey and Attorney General Javier Becerra. As part of it, the utility will plead guilty to 84 counts of involuntary manslaughter and one count of unlawfully causing a fire. The official death count from the Camp Fire, which leveled the town of Paradise, is 85. But a grand jury in Butte County investigated the case and found that one of those 85 people died by suicide, according to the Wall Street Journal. Now, as part of this deal, PG&E will also pay nearly $3.5 million. Camp Fire survivors I've been talking to this morning are expressing relief. They feel this brings some accountability for an experience that destroyed tens of thousands of lives.
Again, that's the California Report's Lily Jamali. As of this morning, there are reportedly 1,842 confirmed cases of COVID-19 in California, and 35 people have died from the virus. President Trump has activated the National Guard in three states and approved disaster declarations requested by their governors, including Gavin Newsom.
This action will give them maximum flexibility to use the Guard against the virus without having to worry about costs or liability, and freeing up state resources to protect the health and safety of the people in their state.
The president also said California will get 8 federal medical stations with 2,000 beds, and a U.S. Navy hospital ship is being sent from San Diego to Los Angeles to treat non-coronavirus patients. Increasing the number of treatment beds is all important because experts say there's a wave of COVID-19 patients coming. Over the weekend, Governor Newsom directed more than $42 million in emergency funding to California's healthcare system to prepare it. Part of that money will be used to lease a hospital in Daly City in Northern California and reopen a recently closed hospital here in L.A. Together, they should add 1,000 more hospital beds, but that likely still won't be nearly enough. So, what does the situation look like now for California hospitals preparing for a surge of coronavirus patients? To find out, I went to Martin Luther King Hospital in South Los Angeles. Outside the hospital's emergency entrance, where barriers were being set up to prepare for more patients, I talked to hospital vice president Jorge Reyno.
How are you preparing for the coming hours, days, weeks when it comes to coronavirus?
Like everybody else, expecting that things are going to get worse in regards to the number of cases. And we do need to be very, very careful that we're going to meet the needs of this community.
Could you just give me some idea, as a big urban hospital like this one prepares for what's likely to come in terms of patient intake, what is happening inside those walls?
We're very busy. We're managing near our top, the top of our capacity. We innovate significantly in our ED.
ED being?
In the emergency department. And we've been doing so to find additional room, additional space to meet the volume of patients in our community that need our help. But we need to prepare for more than our capacity can sustain. And if necessary, if it comes down to it, with fewer supplies.
I mean, if there's a big surge, do you have enough stuff inside to deal with it? Do you have
swabs and ventilators?
We can maintain
normal operations for now.
We can
handle some additional surge. But if, say, for instance, I think we're in the same condition as every other hospital, probably in California, probably in the country. If we were to see massive changes in a surge, it's likely that we'll fall short of some critical supplies. And so we're working actively to make sure that hopefully we can come up with some other solutions and partners.
I was talking to one of your colleagues earlier who said the hospital is actually starting to reach out to nail salons to ask them about face masks. Is that right?
Well, we're reaching out. We're asking our staff and everybody that we work with to be as creative as possible.
Really?
So any connections that we have. So whether hardware stores, any other non-traditional source that we might be able to find, we will accommodate what we need to, and we will take care of our community. But we're going to have to get really creative in terms of, you know, where do we find the stuff that we've been relying on readily in the past.
Again, that was Jorge Reyno, president of Martin Luther King Hospital in South Los Angeles. Hospitals preparing for coronavirus patients are also making partnerships. At LA's Martin Luther King, the humanitarian aid group International Medical Corps, which usually operates in war and disaster zones abroad, has opened a field triage facility next to the hospital's emergency room. As workers assembled a huge tent, IMC's Margaret Traub told me how it'll be used.
We are anticipating, with the surge of patients, to do triage, treatment, screening, because we're anticipating there's going to be an overflow in the emergency department. And so this will help add additional space so that doctors and nurses can maneuver.
And could you see it coming to a point where, you know, people are in this tent for days at a time?
Absolutely. This could end up being a treatment area. It could be a triage area. It could be an initial screening area. But patients could remain here for a while. So they will stay here as long as they need.
Tell me about just the process of getting it up and running. I mean, IMC, International Medical Corps, moves really fast in areas all over the world. What did it take to get this up in South Los Angeles this quickly?
So International Medical Corps maintains these facilities in crates at FedEx in Memphis. We were able to ship it on Wednesday night. It was here Thursday morning, first thing, and we had it over to the hospital and are assembling it here today. So we're able to mobilize them and deploy them and be operational anywhere in the world in 72 hours.
Is this kind of a picture of what's to come? I mean, do you think we're going to be seeing, whether it's through your organization or so many others, we're going to be seeing these pop up at hospitals all over the state and all over the country?
There's going to be more and more of this, so it's something you can expect to see. It's something that's necessary, really, for many busy emergency departments to be able to handle the overflow.
That was Margaret Traub with the International Medical Corps. And finally, a lot of places in California over the weekend look like ghost towns as people sheltered in place. But not everywhere. And that has Los Angeles Mayor Eric Garcetti angry.
This weekend, we saw images of too many people crowding beaches or canyons beyond their capacity. Too many people, too close together, too often. The longer we do that, the more people will get sick and the more people will die.
So, Los Angeles is cracking down. Starting today, the city will close beach parking lots and many common areas and parks. Marin County and Point Reyes National Seashore in Northern California have taken similar steps. This is not a vacation, people. And that's the California Report for Monday, March 23rd, a production of KQED Public Radio. I'm Saul Gonzalez in Los Angeles. Be well, everybody, and stay inside.
Support for the California Report comes from California Earthquake Authority, urging Californians to prepare for the next damaging earthquake. Learn more at earthquakeauthority.com. Hint Water. Hint is water infused with fruit essences, including watermelon and blackberry. No sugar, no sweeteners, no calories. Available in grocery stores. Hint, mouthwatering water. And Eric and Wendy Schmidt, whose Fund for Strategic Innovation supports transformative ideas that benefit humanity while protecting the natural world, recognizing through science the interdependence of all living systems.
Hi, it's Terry Gross, the host of Fresh Air. We bring you in-depth, long-form interviews with actors, directors, musicians, authors, journalists, and more. Listen to our Peabody Award-winning Fresh Air podcast from WHYY and NPR.
Hi there, I'm Randa Abdel-Fattah from Throughline. If you're listening to this podcast, you know that KQED produces exceptional storytelling that keeps you informed, inspired, and entertained. Their podcasts cover issues from your neighborhood to the entire country and everything in between. Support this work today.
You can help us continue to bring quality podcasts to your ears. Just head to donate.kqed.org/podcast. That's donate.kqed.org/podcast.
Hi, I'm Sasha Coca, host of the California Report magazine. Every week, we bring you stories about what connects us in the giant, diverse Golden State. Because what happens in California changes the world.
I love this place. We were once seen as like the place to be, California. The land of milk and honey. That's where you go to Sunshine State. But we just have challenges right now.
KQED's California Report magazine. New episodes drop every Friday, wherever you get your podcasts.